Well, last Saturday at Delaware, Lulu Wong, a 2-year-old filled by Badge of Silver, won a maiden special by an eye-popping 10 1/4 lengths. Lulu Wong, bred by Brett Jones and sold for $100,000 at the OVS April sale, had served notice that she might be something special with a bullet half mile and 48 flat 6 days earlier. She's from the second crop by Badge of Silver, as is Doug's Buddy, a colt that has won 2 stakes in Canada and is undefeated in 3 starts, and El Romano, stakes placed at Calder. Badge of Silver is the sire in his first crop of King Kanji, winner of the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby and placed in 3 other stakes, the Grade 1 Bluegrass Stakes right out here at Keeneland, the Hollandale Beach Stakes at Gulfstream Park, and last Saturday's $265,000 Kent Stakes at Delaware. He's also the sire of Silver Medallion, winner of the Grade 3 El Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate and the Eddie Logan Stakes at Santa Anita, Sparkling Style, winner of the Alphabet Kisses Stakes at Hollywood Park, plus stakes place Silver Leo, placed in the $161,000 display stakes at Woodbine. Badge of Silver is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million by Silver Deputy, and he stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. And we have been forced to abandon the clocker stand. We're downtown Lexington today.
Oh, boy.
Looking out
feeding
at all.
Feeding that meter.
feeding the meter. Looking out at the construction down here right in front of Victorian Square on Main Street.
Across from the...
Right across where the...
What they call Lexington Center now.
Yeah. We're on the ground floor here.
On the sidewalk.
Well, yeah, the sidewalk floor. We're right on the sidewalk. People walking by out there, thumbing their nose, giving us fingers, and things
I
like
that. I know. It's
things
just like being in a zoo. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. Right, actually, right where the cross walk is from Rupp Arena. Anyway, that's where we are today. And what are we going to do today? Well, that's a good question. First of all, Dr. Doug Byers will be here and give us his weekly talk his vet talk. Michael Blowen is supposedly on his way here. You never know about Michael Blowen. But, yeah, he'll be here. Hey, Jackie called him today and wanted to make sure he was coming because we wanted to make sure that he knew we were downtown. And he said, would Gabby Hayes desert Royal Rogers? And I thought, well, that Gabby is very appropriate, you know. But
yeah,
anyway.
I like that.
We're going to talk a little bit. They're running the Jockey Club, you know, all these grade one stakes up in New York today, the Jockey Club Gold Cup. So we might talk about some of the past winners of the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Evening Time, who is the daughter of Citation, is with the second high-weighted filly on the year-end handicaps. We'll talk about, that was 1957, of course. I'm sure you remember that. Last week, I wanted to say something about Gallant Bob, and I never got around to it. And I want to say something about Gallant Bob. So I remember Gallant Bob real well. He was by Gallant Romeo, Jackie, who stood out at the Stallion Station, and he was by Gallant Man. And
yes.
Gallant Bob was a champion sprinter, so I think he deserves a mention.
And yeah.
We ran out of time last week for some reason or other. When I first started doing this show, I'd never done anything but a 15-minute show before, and I could barely cram things in, and they said it'd be 2 hours. I said, my God, what am I going to do for 2 hours now? Now I just sit out here
and
blab.
Can't get finished, right.
Yeah, right. Can't get everything in. So anyway, we're going to read some Joe Palmer. And let's see.
My announcements.
Yeah, Jackie's announcements, which we've got another one now. Next week, another 12 o'clock kickoff. We're playing South Carolina at South Carolina. If we live through LSU, which ain't 8-5, let me tell you that.
Right. But, don't the Midnight Madness tickets go on sale today?
Hey, Rusty, when Midnight Madness coming up?
Saturday morning?
Yeah.
Saturday morning?
Yeah, they camped out since Wednesday or Tuesday of the past week.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're camping out already.
Well, and they're supposed to.
Why would you go to class when you can camp out?
Yeah, well, it's going down in the 30s.
I know. That'll test their resolve.
Yeah.
They're I wish it would snow. I always like football games in the snow. Yes. I could sit on my couch and have a fire in the fireplace and just watch them slip, slide, and stuff.
Well, we've had I've had computer problems at home, and I haven't been able to keep up with all the horses that are working. I've winning from the Thoroughbred Center.
It'll be fixed next week.
But we will get it fixed, and I will catch up. So I've got them through Tuesday, which was the 25th. Wasn't the 25th Tuesday? Yeah, I believe that's right.
Not me.
I don't know. That's when I've got them through anyway. And through Tuesday, we'd had 43 winners during the month of September. And let's see. Ones that I haven't announced yet, Tom Bergen went to Mountaineer and won with Boys I'm Here. Wayne Mogey won with up at Turfway with Pawn Shop Queen. I'd be afraid to bet on something like that, wouldn't you? Pawn Shop Queen?
I don't know.
Well, Wayne trains it. Wayne's a good trainer. Helmut Jackson won with Winnet, and he did. And then Brenda Hill won with a horse named Having a Fa... Nice day. Having a nice fa day.
Fa? Which, F-A?
F-A, yeah. And having a nice fa day.
I hope that's clean. You never know.
Well, the way I said it was clean, but that's close as I can get to.
Yeah, there you go. Never know.
I don't think Brenda named that.
No.
Would you think she would do that?
No.
All righty. Let's, Jackie, you want to, let's see, we've got, let me do a set of announcements and then we'll... commercials, and then we'll get into your announcements.
Okay.
Maybe by that time, our good buddy Michael Blowen will show up. Well, Eclipse Award winner Blame received a full book of quality mares in his first season at stud. Thank you, breeders. Winner of 7 stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, the Grade 1 Stephen Foster, and the Grade 1 Whitney. Blame retired with earnings of $4,368,214, and he is one of 4 champions by Arch, the five Grade 1 stakes winners around the world. Grade 1 winners at Belmont Park, at Churchill Downs, at Del Mar, at Oaklawn, at Woodbine, Saratoga, at Royal Ascot, in Newmarket, South Africa. Arch is an internationally successful sire. Blame recorded an astounding 9 consecutive 100-plus buyer speed figures, including a 111 in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he broke his maiden sprinting as a 2-year-old right out here at Keeneland. Blame's Dam, a stakes place daughter seeking the gold, descends from a female family that has already given us literally dozens of superior runners, including the great sire Sadler's Wells and New Year. Eclipse Award winner Blame and his internationally successful sire Arch stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com. Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, had been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination. Cowboy Cal was one of the most precocious sons of champion Sire Giants Causeway, winning his first career start at Belmont Park, then the historic Laurel Futurity. The day he broke his maiden, he sprinted a mile in 1:34 flat. Superb time for a first-time starting 2-year-old. At 3, he won 2 graded stakes, one at Keeneland, one at Calder, and was second in 3 other stakes, 2 grade 1. He won 3 grade 2 stakes as a 4-year-old, all 3 at Santa Anita, knotted at the wrong time to run second, in grade 1 stakes at Churchill Downs, Finished second in grade two stakes at Saratoga and third in grade one stakes at Hollywood Park. That was in his final start. And in grade two stakes at Saratoga, retiring with earnings of over $1 million. Cowboy Cal is by Giants Causeway, out of a daughter seeking the goal. First foals, outstanding, are weanlings. He stands at Pin Oak Stud with the Stallions, Bob and John, Broken Vow, and Sky Classic. Inquiries at Clifford Berry and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
Something, or do I have to say something?
Oh, I guess you have to say something.
Oh, okay.
There's a new wind.
You know what this is? This paper.
Yeah. All right. This is from our good friends at the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, David.
He hesitated Weitzer. Because that was a blonde that walked by.
Yeah. I noticed that. Excuse me, guys.
It's amazing.
Well, anyway, these are the breeders of stakes winners, Kentucky bred stakes winners last week. The grade two $1 million Pennsylvania Derby went to Honor and Serve, bred by Twin Creeks Farm, Larry Beyer, and the Rancho San Miguel. The grade three Sprightstown Kentucky Cup Sprint Stakes, Matthewsburg won that, bred by Adina Springs. The grade three Distorted Humors, what is that? Kentucky Cup Distaff, isn't it? The Distorted Humor Kentucky Cup Distaff went to La Gran Balladora, bred by Tracy Farmer. The Group 2 Judmont Royal Lodge Stakes, Daddy Longlegs won that. He's by from the first crop by Scat Daddy. Scat Daddy has got three stakes winners in his first crop. I think all three of them are graded. And 19 two-year-old winners had another one just a couple of days ago at Belmont. This one bred by Woodford Thoroughbreds. Daddy Longlegs was. That's a good name in it. The grade three Celine Stakes at Woodbine went to Smart Sting, bred by Adina Springs. The Monmouth Park NATC Futurity went to Hunt Crossing, bred by Mount Joy Stables. The Monmouth Park NATC Futurity for the Philly Division, My Due Process, bred by Gulf Coast Farms. The Tis Now Kentucky Cup Juvenile Phillies winner, Charming Vixen, Joseph Lacombe Stables bred that one. The Bluegrass Cat, Kentucky Cup Juvenile went to Hanson, bred by Kendall E. Hanson, named it after himself. Boy, it looked like he named it after a good one, too, didn't he?
Oh, wow. I saw that race. That was phenomenal.
Yeah. Colt from the training center ran third in that race. That was Paul McAtee trained
yes.
it for
yeah.
Sandringham's farm. The third Martini Stakes at Belmont, Boots Ahead won that, bred by Hiram C. Polk and Dr. J. David Richardson. The Positive Gal Stakes at Belmont, Roman Treasure, Liberation Farm, Brandywine Farm, and Aratus Thoroughbreds. The Governor's Cup Handicap at Fairplex winner, Carbonite, went to Mercedes Stables. And the La Madrina Handicap at Fairplex, Pure Class, won that, bred by Mark Roberts, Dan Hall, Jack Brothers, and David Devine.
Okay.
Those last week's Kentucky Bred Stakes winners.
Excellent. Ah, here's kind of an interesting thing. Ed Fallon, of course, everybody knows Ed, longtime vet, and he and Ursel, you went to school together?
Yeah, we went to, yeah.
Played football?
Played football together. He was a tackle.
And you were a?
Bench warmer. And, I played in. But anyway, Ed and I have been, gee whiz, he's got a veterinarian pedigree, you know. In fact, when he was born, most babies, you know, say da-da or something like that. He said palpate, you know. And I think Ed was one of the first, one or two, maybe, he would not own up to this, but that actually palpated mares physically, you know, rectally,
yeah.
to examine the follicle to see when to breed them.
Yeah.
And it was when he started was doing it, it was very controversial. In fact, there was at least one vet in the firm of Haggard, Davidson, McGee, which was founded by his uncle, Dr. Charlie Haggard, and says, I think the quote was, if you get that mare in foal, I'll eat it, or something like that. I hope I didn't have to put it down for him to eat it. But anyway, Ed is a great guy, and You knew he was going to be a vet right from, seriously, from kindergarten on.
Yeah.
And he was raised over on Beaumont Farm, at Hal Price Healy's Beaumont Farm. And he just, he's got a son, of course, that practices at, with Haggard Davison and Gee, who else. And anyway, happy birthday.
Well, it's the 10th, Ed. And we're supposed to announce it next week. But I thought we'd go ahead and talk about it because his niece, Molly Robert DiPerna.
You mean I did that a week early?
Yeah. Well, we're going to do it again. I just think it's fun.
Okay.
Because, well,
hey,
I got an email
from her. I aged you before your time.
His birthday's October the 10th. We are going to announce it on the 8th, too. But his niece and I have been trading emails back and forth. And she wanted to know what time you were going to say something about it on the next show. And Ursel said, tell him to listen to the whole damn show.
That's why put it right in the middle.
There you go. We won't tell when we're five minutes
before I sign off. How about that?
There you go. Well, I told her we'd do that next week, so I just thought it was funny. I wanted to mention it because I got real tickled.
Well, then I thought you know, I thought I was supposed to give that big spiel right on his birthday. Here I've done it a week early.
Well, it's the 10th.
Next you get to be that my age and Ed's age, you don't want to lose a week, you know?
There you go. Right. Take them as they come.
All righty.
Okay, Old Friends Calendar Project. Old Friends, the 2012 calendars are available. They're $25 plus $3 shipping. And they've got full color photos. They're really good photos. Bull in the Heather, Thornfield, Ball Four, Clever Alamont, Tenor's Way, et cetera, Marquetry. He makes a pretty picture anyway because he's so colorful. Anyway, proceeds benefit Old Friends Farms for retired thoroughbreds. Their phone number in Georgetown, which is a 502 number, is 863-1775. Or you know what? You can Google it. They've got a lot of hits on Google. So, also, if you donate $100, you can buy feed for a day, and you get a free calendar and have a loved one's birthday, anniversary, or memorial note on the date of your choice for the following year calendar. So that's kind of fun. You can just Google Old Friends Equine Retirement and come up with all that good information. Okay, this weekend at the Horse Park, we are in the middle of the Arabian and Half Arabian Sport Horse Nationals. And, you know, they do a lot of different things with Arabs. They have saddle seat kind of things with Arabs, and this is sport horse. So I would guess, I'm going to guess it's jumping and cross country, that sort of thing. Also, this weekend, Jumpstart Horse Trials are going on. Next weekend, from the 5th through the 8th, is the Kentucky Fall Classic Saddlebred Show. And the 5th through the 9th is the National Drive. I'm not sure what that is. But anyway, the weekend is a Kentucky Classic Combined Drive event. That's if you want to go out and take some great pictures of horses pulling gorgeous carriages. And they do a lot of, they go cross country and they have poles set up and they have to weave in around the poles and all that good stuff. So that's something fun. And 5th through the 9th is Kentucky Proud Weekend and the Kentucky Horse Park Gift Shop Harvest Sale. And Special Olympics are coming up. And Michael Blowen just got here.
How about that?
Yeah. Talk to Michael.
Is Mike on? Might as well. He starts. As soon as it's a reflex action with him when he sits down, his mouth opens.
We hit the ground speaking.
There you go.
Right. Open that gate and let's go.
I thought you were.
It never said dwelt after my past performance.
I like to analogy with Gabby Hayes.
You know,
I thought the Gabby was very appropriate.
I thought so too.
Yeah, right.
I finally figured out why they didn't call him George.
Oh, what's that his name?
George Gabby Hayes.
Did you know him?
No.
Yeah.
I wish I did though. He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except, you know, I think he was with Gene.
Yeah, I think so, too. He was with Buster Crabbe, too, for a while, too.
Oh.
Boy, that goes back.
Mm-hmm.
That's silent stuff, isn't it?
Who, Buster Crabbe?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. Silent, no. He
was an Olympic champion.
Yeah, swimming, wasn't it?
Swimmer.
Yeah.
Oh, he and Johnny Weissmuller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
See, I know something about these movies.
You do. As long as they're black and white, I know you're in safe territory.
My kids
Gone
one time,
with the Wind was in color.
My kids one time got one of those crabs you buy from Florida, you know, and we called it Buster. Nobody got it.
Nobody got it.
Nobody got it.
Yeah, he had a show, actually, a TV show about the Foreign Legion that he started in with his kid.
Oh, he did. Cuffy. I remember
it
that.
Cuffy, his name was.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember that. That was on television when Saturday morning.
That was in black and white. That black was in the 50s. That was 50s. That's too contemporary for you.
Well, Saturday morning.
They didn't have TV where I was during the 50s.
Actually, I had to sneak into my neighbor's house to watch TV then, but it was good. It was good. But anyway, it's been a great week at Old Friends. We had a meeting this past week with the Governor's Council on Equine Welfare, and Dr. Stout, and Rusty Ford's our chairman, and we have, it's a great group. Dr. Markham's in it, Dr. Stout, and Dr. Jeremy from Hillendale. I mean, there's a lot of great people in this group, and we're working on some criteria to establish accreditation for horse retirement and
That's
rescue
a good
facilities.
Idea. Mm-hmm. That is a brilliant idea that
and, you know,
be accredited.
It's really amazing. I usually don't like meetings, but it's amazing what happens in a meeting when you're surrounded by really smart people. I mean, they're really smart. They know what they're talking about.
I get intimidated.
He gets intimidated with you, Jackie, big time. And I can understand
that.
Well,
that's because I cook.
That's understandable. But anyway, I think we're well on our way to providing some really solid information and some good science and all the things that they bring to the table to
that
to help
accreditation
these
part is important because mm-hmm. so many people will pass themselves off and get grants.
Yeah, you want to avoid all that. And then on the other hand, you know, when people are going to make donations to facilities, you want to make sure that your money's going in the right spot. So it'll be really good for everybody. I think we should have a moment of silence for the Red Sox collapse. Oh my God! This is the only day I wish I was back in Boston. Can you imagine that? They had this huge lead and they collapsed. And the way it is in Boston, you know, it's like it's a religion. The Red Sox are a religion. I mean, the B is like, I mean, it's like a huge totem. I mean, I can imagine what the talk shows are like now talking about the Red Sox collapse.
Did the Merlins or somebody beat them?
No, it's not the Merlins. That's Merlin. He's in Camelot. It's the Marlins, and it's not the Marlins. Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Okay. Oh, I knew it was a fish or a wizard or something.
Yeah,
a fish or a wizard.
And here's the key to the whole thing. They just had to win the game and have Tampa lose. Now, the Red Sox were ahead 3-2 in the eighth inning against the Baltimore Orioles, one of the worst teams in the American League. And the Yankees were ahead of the Tampa Bay 7-0. And Tampa Bay came back and beat the Yankees 8-7.
Oh.
And the Red Sox lost in the last inning 4-3.
Oh, jeez.
And now Tampa Bay is going to end up going to the, you know, the league championship series and
the Sorcerers.
Who never happened. Yeah, the Sorcerers. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, a little moment of sorrow for the Red Sox.
But, and you want to be up there to watch all these people wearing black armbands.
I appreciate their pain, you know. So anybody that roots
are they
for
the
team?
Ones that have that big old brick baseball field downtown in Boston?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Fenway Park. They have more consecutive sellouts than any sports franchise in history.
I can't feel sorry for them at all. I'm a UK football fan.
There you go.
Well,
yeah, I know.
This is
it's tough all over.
Yes.
It is tough all over.
We've been there before.
Yikes.
Been there
Yikes.
And done that.
Well, the passion that people have for UK basketball is the same kind of passion people bring to the Red Sox. It's the same fanaticism.
That's
where the word fan comes from, of course.
Yeah.
Let me take a break before you continue.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Oh, that was a skidding stop.
Wow.
Well, you know.
That wasn't a fade or a dissolve. That was a direct cut.
Are you through? Okay. I'll ask permission next time. First Defense. First Crop Yearlands sold for $165,000 and $110,000 at the recent Keeneland sales. Yearlings by Mizzen Mass sold for $145,000, $135,000, $90,000. First Defense's stud fee was $7,500. in 2011. Mizzen mast fee was $12,500. We expect big things from the first crop by First Defense next year because First Defense was a big, has a big-time pedigree, a pedigree loaded with grade one winners and successful sires. And First Defense had a big-time speed, grade one speed. He sprinted 7 furlongs in 44-3, 108-2, and 122-1 to win the grade one forego at Saratoga, in 120-4 at Belmont, in 122-1 at Churchill, and 6 furlongs in 109-2 to take the grade three Jiper Stakes. By top sire Unbridled Song, First Defense is out of grade one stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, to the outstanding sires Empire Maker and Chester House. Mizzen Mast, a grade one winner himself, is a proven sire of grade one winners, and he's a son of the leading sire Cozin. First Defense and Mizzen Mast stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to my friend Garrett O'Rourke, R. Aaron Fry, whom I've never met, but I'd like to. She's got a lovely voice on the phone. And see the website at judmont.com. Well, 6 yearlings were sold for $1 million or more at Keeneland. 3 were sold by associates of McCauley Brothers. 2 were consigned by Hill and Dale Farm. The top price yearling in the sale for $1,400,000 and a filly for $1 million. And Gainsway sold a colt for $1,200,000 as agent for Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, both clients of McCauley's. At the races, the 1-2 finishes in the Grade 2 $1 million Pennsylvania Derby to Honor and Serve and Ruler on Ice were both raised on McCauley products. To Honor and Serve at Twin Creeks Farm with breeding partners Larry Byer and Rancho San Miguel. And Belmont Stakes winner Ruler on Ice at Brandywine Farm with partner Liberation Farm. Roman Treasure, bred by Liberation Farm, Brandywine Farm, and Aratus Thoroughbreds, won Belmont's Positive Gal Stakes. The Grade 3 Distorted Humor, Kentucky Cup Distaff winner, La Grande Belador, was raised at Three Chimneys Farm for Tracy Farmer. And to top off the day, Matthewsburg, winner of the Grade 3 Sprightstown Kentucky Cup Sprint, and Smart Sting, winner of the Grade 3 Celine Stakes, were bred and raised at Edina Springs. And Hunt Crossing, winner of the NATC Futurity for Colts at Monmouth Park, was bred by Mount Joy Stables and raised at Crestwood Farm. Congratulations to all from McCauley Brothers. To join the winning team at the sales and at the races, contact Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. And speaking of Crestwood Farm, who raised that stakes winner for Mount Joy, that's the home of Tiz Deja Vu, who was a long-striding catch-me-if-you-can runner. He won the Grade 2 1-mile firecracker handicap at Churchill Downs, leading from wire to wire. He won the Grade 2 Jefferson Cup over 9 furlongs at Churchill, again, leading wire to wire. He wired the field to take the Grade 2 American Derby at Arlington at 1 3/16. He led all the way to take the 1 1/8 Grade 2 Jefferson Cup at Churchill, and he began again led wire to wire to take the 1 1/16 opening verse stakes at Churchill Downs, a track where he was virtually unbeatable. He also set the pace in the Grade 1 Secretariat Stakes at Arlington to finish third at the American Classic distance of 1 1/4. Tiz Deja Vu is one of 16 Grade 1 runners by the great Tiz now, and his first foals are due next year. He covered an excellent group of quality mares in his first season, and he stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Your inspection's invited. Check the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All right, talking to Michael Blowen from Overstaff.
Can I start to talk again now?
Yeah, you may proceed.
Well, it's really great you're talking about.
I'm going to have a cup of coffee. Go ahead.
Put something in it, will you please? I was talking about Pope McLean and Crestwood Farm and Brian Burns and Mountjoy Stable. Brian came to the farm last week, and he had the name Jimmy. He was over at Crestwood Farm when he retired. He retired him to old friends, so Brian and his wife came to visit the name's Jimmy last week.
Oh, nice.
And he loves butterscotch, the name's Jimmy. So he brought him butterscotch, and Brian was really, really happy with the way the horse looked. He said, you know, I think the name's Jimmy's 23 years old now, and he said he looked like he was 10. That's, and he did. I mean, it was one of those days when he just
was always a good-looking horse, too.
Yeah, beautiful horse.
Yeah.
And he played with him and did all kinds of things, and Brian donated $3,000.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
You tell him to come again?
Come anytime.
Yeah, daily.
And he's a great guy. I mean, he's a really, really, he and his wife are really, really
Where are
nice.
They from?
I loved his, or Chicago.
Are they?
I met him out at one of the Fazy Tipton sales a few mm-hmm. years back. And they had a couple of the names Jimmy's yearlings for sale out there.
Yeah.
Pope was selling them for him.
Well, he, you know, he's got some nice horses now with Pope and the people over at Crestwood. He's been racing. He's been doing good. He's got some stakes winners now, and it's really things are working out good for him. You know what he does? He handles all the insurance for Major League Baseball and the National Football League.
Oh boy!
Really?
I tell you yeah. what.
I told him. I said we have a lot of old athletes here that need some insurance. What do you think? So he's working on it.
Yeah, he's working on
oh,
it.
Oh, that's funny.
I just say that because Pope and everybody at Crestwood and Brian and everybody, I mean, they're just great people, and they really help us a lot.
Oh, they
That'd
are.
Be like me trying to take out more life insurance. I don't think they're going to give it to me. So there you've already outlived everybody.
We can sell you some two-week term.
Okay.
Put him on a plane and go to one of those machines.
Instead of selling insurance, we sell it on a daily basis. Okay. Like Monday or Tuesday. I know the feeling. They do the same thing with me now, too. So are you on blood pressure medication? Yes. Oh, sorry. I'll call you next week.
What's yeah. that you've got in your hand? No, the other.
This is for our Hall of Fame celebration on October 17th. During the afternoon, beginning at 3 o'clock, we're going to have a reinterment ceremony for Skipaway. Mm-hmm. Rick Trontz and Carolyn Hine have graciously allowed us to reinter Skipaway from his resting spot over at Hopewell Farm over to our old friend's Hall of Fame cemetery, and mm-hmm. he is now buried next to Newer.
That's so nice.
So
that's great.
We're going to have this big celebration over there. Bucky's going to come, of course, and do the call to post. I think Carolyn Hine's going to come. John Veach is coming.
Well, that's a gig he knows he's got.
Yes.
Bucky.
Yeah, he does. It's a regular gig. Pays really well, too.
Yeah,
yikes.
Sure.
You think I'm full of hot air.
Barbecue ribs, and is that the same outfit that you've been getting?
No. The barbecue ribs, we're going to have, it's going to be a barbecue a contest. Bill Greeley's involved. Kent DeSormo's involved. Old friends are going to have a barbecue sauce. And what we're going to do is people can try the different barbecue and the different barbecue sauces. And we're going to put a goldfish bowl in front of each person's barbecue sauce. And you donate money to whichever barbecue sauce you like the best. And then we get the cash no matter who wins.
Oh, I love that kind
it's
of thing.
It's fabulous.
Yes, it's wonderful.
And,
you can't lose.
Look at, when are you going to see the words free and beer next to each other?
I know.
Free beer. So they'll have mixed drinks, too, if you want to buy those. But we're going to have free
beer.
I'll
be there around noon.
Nick Ryan Saloon. I am so glad to hear the word saloon.
It's a great word, isn't it?
Yes. And they've got to be bar and cafe and all that. It's a saloon. Is
Bistro.
A beer is a beer. And a saloon is a saloon.
6 p.m. Jackie, I want to go in this place. I've never been in there.
It's a really nice place.
It's right over on Jefferson.
Yeah, right close to Stella's Deli.
Yeah, right next to Stella's.
Right next to it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of the Hall of Fame people that are coming to the ceremony at Old Friends Farm in that afternoon are all going to come and participate in this. Pat Day's been invited. I don't know if Pat's going to come or not.
It's a saloon.
It's a saloon. I know. It's tough for him.
Yeah.
Well, you can come in and preach.
There you go.
Put a fishbowl in front of him.
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, that'd be funny. But Jerry Bailey's been invited, and a lot of the jockeys are going to come. A lot of the Hall of Fame people are going to come. So
get a lot of good autographs, a lot of pictures.
A lot of good autographs, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And if things work out, they're going to do it every year for us at Nick Ryan. So.
That's super.
And it's Monday, dark day at Keeneland.
Yes.
I think that's Saturday. They're celebrating their 75th anniversary at Keeneland. So there'll be a lot of people around. I'm hoping they'll stay and come over on Monday.
And the date is again?
It's October 17th at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So Monday night.
Yeah, Monday
and,
night.
It
okay.
should be fun. I was with Steve Anderson this morning, who used to work for the NTRA, and he has a new business now, and he's going to come in and talk to you one of these days when you have time.
What's good. Steve doing?
He was touring the farm this morning, telling me which horses he bet on and which ones he won, which ones he lost.
Funny.
But he's working for a lot of different suppliers, for racing suppliers. he's working, one of the clients he has is Toro Mowers, and they're going to donate a mower to Old Friends.
Oh, wow. Nice. Mm-hmm.
And he's got some really good ideas for doing some tie-ins with some of his clients and Old Friends to help both of us. So
mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah, I love talking. I love seeing him again. I haven't seen him in several years.
Yeah.
How long ago did he leave NTRA now?
I don't know. Yeah. You'll have to ask him. But
Remy Bellick left.
Yeah, he's left the HBPA now.
National
He was with the HBPA.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You said NTRA.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
you get into these alphabet things. I know I it's can't. A hard thing, isn't it? As long as we don't say CIA.
That's right.
We'll be all set. But yeah, Steve's going to help us a lot, and he's going to come in and see you if you want.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Yeah, I'd like to.
He's got great stories about racing and people. And
where's he from?
That.
Do you know?
Yeah, he's from New England. He's the one we were talking about, the Red Sox.
Oh, funny. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's from New England.
I believe I had him on the show once or twice.
Yeah, you did. He told me you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were doing Famous People of 61, something like that.
No, we're 57 now. Probably was 52.
Yeah.
Could have been 55.
Keep cranking them out. We'll catch up. We will catch up.
I'm trying. I want to talk about one more three-year-old in 1957. Then I go on to older horses. That's a good, you know.
You know what I found? Well, first of all, you know, we've got the Bobby Frankel trophies. And, you know, frankly, you know, Diane and I really don't want to sit around polishing trophies.
Right.
Because it's hard work. But we have one of our volunteers. Her name is Patty Davis. And she came here. She has a horse in training.
Where?
She has a racehorse here at Keeneland.
Okay.
And she says, you know what? I would be honored to come and polish those trophies.
Get out.
Get out. Right. Exactly right. No, stay in.
Yeah.
And she came 3 days and polished almost all the trophies. And they look spectacular.
Great. I was going to volunteer Jackie.
No, you weren't.
You could have volunteered her. But
if I knew this was going on, I might have brought a few bowls out there and slipped them in.
I'd be back on the couch.
Well, you have to come over and see them because it's just amazing. They are amazing looking now. And she said they'll look nice. You know, they should look nice all through our celebration so people come and see them.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's really good. And, of course, we have our homecoming the day after the Breeders' Cup.
What day is that?
It's a Sunday.
Well, we know that.
What?
November the what?
I don't know, the 6th.
I think
so. Anybody got
a calendar? You know.
No. I forgot my purse.
Yeah. But the calendar's over at the training center.
Yeah.
I should have brought another one. We could have put one up in here, too.
Yeah.
Our new calendars are available at our fabulous Old Friends gift shop.
I gave you a commercial already.
Yeah.
You got a plug.
A free plug.
They're ready.
How to call and find out and Google Old Friends if you got a short memory for numbers.
It's great. Yeah, the calendar. Sylvia and Katie Barrett and Steve and everybody did a great job designing the calendar this year. It really looks nice. There's a fabulous, the only human we've ever used in that calendar is Susie Oldham's granddaughter.
That's the cutest picture.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
It's a really cute picture.
Now, how old is that baby? That's one name for Chris McCarron.
Yeah, a few months. A few months old.
Sitting there on the grass with a shank, and there's little Silver Charm.
Yep.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's a great picture. You got to put that on Facebook or something.
Well, you should have put it on the cover, I think.
Save it. I know.
Whatever. It's there.
Yeah.
Monday morning quarterback.
Huh?
I said you're Monday morning quarterback.
Listen, you have your complaints. There's horses that I wanted to get on that calendar for years, and they've never been on it because they pick them just by virtue, not of who the horses are. They pick them just by virtue of the quality of the photographs.
Now, I go through that calendar. I see this congratulations to somebody. Do you have to pay to do that?
Yeah, $100.
$100.
But you get a free calendar.
And you get a calendar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it comes to 80.
Well, I went in there looking to see if my birthday was in there, but they're probably saving it for my obit.
When's your birthday?
May.
May what?
30.
May 30th. Okay, well.
You'll forget that.
I won't. Yeah, I'll go back and we'll find out.
I'll get a damn bill in the mail. That's what's going to happen.
Good.
You got $100 coming. It's fabulous.
You ought to. You're in here fishing like that. You ought to get a fishing license.
May 30th. we might give you a discount.
Yeah.
I don't think so, though. I don't run the calendar. I would if
there
it was
you go.
Me.
Here comes the good doctor.
He would if he could.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
But he can't.
Yeah.
I hope he pitches better than Papelbon did this week. The Red Sox lost.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Well, let me take a break here. And let's see where I Where am I?
You are at Shadwell Farm.
Yeah, okay. I'm supposed to be checking these things off, aren't I? All right.
Doc's wandering around out there.
Oh, I got to let him in.
Oh, may have a sick horse down there.
All right, well, and now, Albertus Maximus.
Welcome to our show.
He just walked right in.
Dr. Byers is just coming in from the bullpen. It's the eighth inning. We need somebody to close this one out.
All right.
You got my chair. You got his chair. Friends.
Albertus Maximus sprinted a mile and won 33-2 to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. He won the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Handicap, 9 furlongs on the dirt. He won the Windy Sands Handicap, 1 mile at Del Mar. He won at Santa Anita. He won at Hollywood Park. Placed in Grade 1 Stakes, the Goodwood. Grade 2 Stakes, the Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, and the Grade 3 Affirm Handicap. And he earned $1,328,230. He is one of 2 millionaires sired by Albert the Great, a brilliant stakes winner of over $3 million. His dam, a daughter of 49er, won nearly $100,000 and is out of Race the Wild Wind, a Grade 1 Stakes winner of over $458,000. Race the Wild Wind is also the dam of King Charlemagne, a Group 1 Stakes winner in France, and a Group Stakes winner in England as well, and Ireland, as far as that goes, a Group Stakes winner in Group 1 place, Meshanbir, and she is the grand dam of Here Comes Ben, winner of the Grade 1 Forgo Stakes, that's at Saratoga. Albertus Maximus is a superior Grade 1 Stakes winner from a top-class family, and here's the good news. He's to stand his first season at stud, free to approve mares with a $5,000 bonus to the breeder of his first stakes winner. Contact stallion manager Kent Barnes at Shadwell Farm. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my good friend, Ralph Quillen, over at Quillen Tack. And Jackie.
Ralph Quillen is a Facebook king.
The Facebook king?
Yeah. If you get, go be his friend on Facebook, and he's entertaining. And goes out to eat a lot and stuff. And he tells you everywhere he's been. Sometimes he says Ralph Quillen is at Quillen Tack. Especially, did a lot of that before the sales, because those sales halters out there were Quillen Tack, that's for sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the November sale's coming up, so he'll be making more. They make 17,000 halters a year. And people keep coming back because they're so well-made.
Yeah.
They do a terrific job.
Jim Fitzgerald, our good friend over there at Knott Griffin, he gets everything through.
He's been a long time.
One of their first customers, he said.
Yeah, and
he's been down there 16 years. When our own Quillen's been open, we'll have to ask Ralph.
You know, I don't know. That's true. I hadn't thought about that. But also, they have colored leather, checkbook covers, belts, dog collars, all that kind of stuff. They've got blue, pink, green, red. I'm not sure about yellow. Betsy hears us talking about that. She wants a blue halter. She wants a UK blue halter. You can do that too, I suppose. Anyway, they also have a wonderful gift shop. Pick up stuff for Christmas, for kids, for grown-ups, whatever. They make great Christmas belts and things. Everybody around here gets a nice leather belt with a nameplate on it for Christmas. Quillen is at Quillen.com, Quillin.com, or give them a call in Paris, 987-0730.
Well, they're running 5 Grade 1 stakes today at Belmont Park. It's a great day of racing. Heading the card is the historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, a race which has been won in past years by many of the all-time greats. Man of War, Gallant Fox, 20 Grand, War Admiral, Prince Quillo, Citation, Nashua, Kelso, Summerbird, boy, the names just roll off your tongue, don't they? Jockey Club Gold Cup defeating, they won that, Summerbird won the Jockey Club Gold Cup, defeating the likes of Quality Road and Tisway on his way to winning an Eclipse Award as a champion 3-year-old colt of his year. He also won the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes and the Grade 1 Travers, 2 more of the nation's most coveted stakes. And he was retired with earnings of over $2 million. $323,000. Now, Summerbird's sire, Birdstone, also won the Belmont and the Travers. And in addition to champion Summerbird, he has sired a winner of the Kentucky Derby. And Summerbird's female family has already given us such outstanding sires as Tappet and Relaunch, plus a host of superior stakes winners. Summerbird covered a full book of quality mares in his first season as stud. This year, stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to my friend Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Thank you. I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's
hey, doctor,
clear,
can better do, take his mic here.
Can do. This guy says the horse
on the side?
Can do.
Does that work right? Work all right, Richard? Oh, well, good. You have to stand up. Make Michael move down there.
I've never been able to get him to move over when I've come around before.
Well, why start now, huh?
Off a bar stool.
Well, that's just to keep you from falling off.
Yeah, we both have to, so there's commentary between us, because so Michael's going to another mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Taking over Jackie's mic. Jackie, how are you going to be quiet? Oh, well, I'll take yours.
It's been
that's
a revolution.
Right. I'll share with you.
If
honey.
It comes to it.
I'll share. Yeah, right. I'll share with you. Doc, how are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Got a little airplane sniffles. You know, I went to Dr. Thorpe's son's wedding last week. And anytime you get on those airplanes, you risk picking up a little something. So
yeah.
But it was
still
a very
serve?
Nice occasion. We went to Colorado. Uh-huh. And Paul Arthur got married, and it was a very nice occasion. Beautiful hilltop. I called the place that we went to the Spindle Top of Colorado.
Wow. So, I talked to somebody else last week that was going.
Uh-huh.
Probably a lot of people from Lexington there, though.
Just the low-class people.
How come I wasn't invited?
Yeah, right.
We're going to be pulling you down.
All right. Well, listen, we were chatting a little other day on the phone. We were talking about pin firing and blistering and things like that. And I think you mentioned to me that they had banned pin firing in Europe. And how long ago did that happen?
Well, it actually is kind of pseudo-banned. In 1991, they decided that it was a inhumane practice. But then, you know, there's a large division which occurs in a lot of different clinical areas where practicing practitioners versus science at the institutions where they say prove something works. Well, they can't really prove exactly how it works. A lot of it has too many variables, the type of injury, they don't respond to firing, they don't respond to blistering, et cetera, et cetera. So what are you doing to these horses other than putting them through some course of pain and discomfort? So in 1991, they had a big powwow, and they said, you know, we're going to not allow it anymore. Well, then they met again, and a lot of practitioners said, you know, we've got horses that do respond to it, and we need to do it. So currently, as far as firing is concerned, and this is hot firing, you know, there's different kinds of firing. But using pin fires, which can be pin or needle fires, that's considered a last resort. So you've tried other things.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really working, and so then it's okay. And, of course, the argument through time has been just that, time. It gets the horse time to get over something he may get over anyway. So with the firing iron, all these things, firing and blistering, are called counter-irritations. So you actually inflame a portion of the body, whether it's bone or tendon or ligaments or whatever, and that inflammatory process basically scars the tissues or thickens the mm-hmm. tissues to strengthen them. Again, there's no hard and fast scientific proof where you say, well, 300 horses were fired and they got back to the races in mm-hmm. 3 months or 5 months, and those that didn't get fired with the exact same lesions, they were out a year, you know. So, but the point is the process of doing these different things has initially some hand walking exercises involved, but then they do get stall bound for a long period of time. Now, firing, like I say, it could be hot, which is the firing iron. And when you see that horse you say, well, he's been pin-fired because you can see all the marks up and down his legs, and they do them in a pattern. Or you might see white hairs, and that could have been done by what we call freeze firing, where they take liquid nitrogen and apply that and actually kill, or when that all thaws out, there's an inflammatory process by doing that. Again, it's what we call a subjective treatment rather than an objective treatment. An objective treatment says, well, I'm going to give you aspirin, and we can show your platelets are slowed down 40%. So that's an objective finding. Or you can say, well, I'm going to give you some Coca-Cola, and I think it does the same effect, but they don't measure. So, again, objective versus subjective. And a lot of veterinarians and trainers would become very opinionated. And a lot of times we become opinionated just because we remember a certain horse that did really great.
Yeah.
And so that sets the pattern, you know, for them to continue to do this to other horses. And then because there are so many variables, this bone splint on this horse was worse than the other, so he didn't come around. So you have some built-in excuses to that. Anyway, blistering, they use different chemicals for it. They call mild blisters, like iodine. And basically they're caustic agents, mercury, or they call them strong blisters, which gets down to croton oil and cantharidins, which actually just burn. It's like putting acid, you know. So you get a tremendous response out of that. So the strong blisters are not around as much. Some horses you have to keep them shod because it stings enough, they'll start digging in the stall and they'll wear their foot off. So, again, we don't do much of it anymore. There are some horses that veterinarians feel like this is the thing you need to do because you've done all the other things. Mm-hmm. And when you think about our racing industry, we've got a 2, 3, 4, maybe year window to get that horse right, keeping him right, you know. So, if something would heal better by doing counter irritation, it'll get applied. Some of the strong blisters that horses have gotten into, mostly mercury, which is toxic to the kidneys, have had kidney failure in certain levels. So those got published in the journals where they found causes for kidney failure, and that would be one of them. So that backs people away, right, you know, real soon. And it's kind of an indirect backing away. You may say, well, I think it does a great job, but now I've created a liability. If that horse went into kidney failure and it's documented that he gets kidney failure, I could be liable for having used that product. So a lot of that gets backed away.
I have a question.
Yeah?
I know you said thickening of the skin. I had a friend one time and said, look how nice and tough that skin is. But I thought that scar tissue had no give to it. So it's not an asset. It's a defect.
Well, and you are correct. You want elasticity of the skin. You want specifically elasticity of the tendons and the ligaments. So a lot of those things that do create quite a response, the cells go in there and they start to set up scarring and fibrosis, but they're not in alignment. So you may have a thicker and a stronger, but it don't have a stretch to those tissues. So that is a potentially a byproduct, a bad byproduct of having done those procedures. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that we fought for ages and ages and ages is soaring in the Tennessee walking horses, and those where they use those products to deliberately make them soar.
Yeah.
And, again, those horses, they have an animated gait, but now they animate it to a super level because it stings every time foot hits the ground. He can't wait to pick it back up. Mm. So he elevates his, so those products, and again, those in some cases are strong blisters, show the scarring around those legs. And so I've been fighting that issue in the horse industry since 1973, when the U.S. federal government, it's like federal government's hovering around us right now.
Yeah.
They hovered around them and passed that law in 1973 called the Equine Humane Act.
Yeah.
And it was basically because some of these horses would be so soared that they would bleed and they'd go back to stall and they couldn't stand up. They'd lay down to eat and things like that. So they were pretty horrific stories, and we don't have those horrific stories now. So it's been tamed down a lot. But those are blisters. Those are forms of blistering. Yeah. And in our industry, you know, you blister for an effect that is hopefully a one-time effect, and you keep them as comfortable as you can until that irritation goes away.
Yeah.
In the fact, with soaring, it's not a one-time deal. It becomes a program.
I know there's couple of trainers or two that I know of. I'm not going to name them, of course. That still, you still fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At the training center, a couple of old timers now.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And there are veterinarians.
A lot of them use blisters.
Yeah. And there are veterinarians that still fire for them.
Yeah. Of course.
Believe
they can't do it themselves.
In what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's like anything else. Now firing, you know, what they're trying to do is get down to the bone. And irritate the periosteum, which is the lining of bone, and strengthen it. It doesn't need to stretch. It needs to wrap around a bone and provide protection against it. So if you had a horse that they get over buck shins, but if you had a horse continually bucked, you'd say,
chronic.
We're getting desperate now, so what are we going to do? And somebody may come along, and there are other people who would say, well, I know they're going to buck. So I'm going to fire them ahead of time and do that. Now, you know, that may be more questionable, but it could be part of one person's program. So he says, you know, when I get my two-year-olds in, I'm going to fire them. Yeah. We don't see much of that. And you can tell you don't see much of that because when you look at these horses, you don't see, I mean, you can't hide the white spots or the scar dots. Either one of those.
Old fella I used to work for many years ago, he was into selling them, and he would never fire one. But he got some pretty big prices for horses too.
No, you couldn't. It'd be too obvious. It's not done as much. We've got alternatives that are cropping up all the time. So you're hearing about, let's not blister these tendons or the ligaments. Let's use stem cells.
Yeah.
And then because we have ultrasound, you can look at that soft tissue and see the defect, the hole that he's torn that ligament.
Yeah.
So you can put something in there you think is going to be better. There's a paper that just came out. Some of the things they put in there haven't made much difference. Like we haven't seen the glucosamines injected directly into a lesion help those horses much. Mm-hmm. But there was a paper just came out about using insulin growth factor. Well, growth factors are kind of like precursors to stem cells. They are chemicals that tell those tissues and almost are genetically programmed to tell that tissue to fix itself, but to fix itself in the right alignment and maintain the elasticity of that tissue.
Yeah.
So in one study that just was out shows that using insulin-like growth factor in ligaments heals them. Now, if you don't do those things, we were talking about time and how we get our backs to the wall, they'll say, look, you know, he's got a bow. Turn him out for a year.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And so then it becomes, can I afford to turn him out for a year?
Then it becomes a fox hunter.
Yeah. Well, Doc, thank you. That was interesting. I like that.
All right. Yes. Well, we'll
appreciate it.
Okay.
I better catch up on some commercials here.
Good. And I'll.
We had a whole horse once that we got, gave a home to for that, that came with two bows. So Jackie named him Fiddle. But he's a fox hunter now. All right, well, First Crop Yearlings, Batia's Wonderful, were extremely well-received at the Keeneland sales. Six were sold for $100,000 or more, two for $150,000, two for $140,000, one for $130,000, and one for $100,000. 12 others sold for more than $50,000, including three that sold for $85,000 each, and another for $75,000. That's 18 first crop yearlings by Tears Wonderful to sell for more than $50,000 each. So he's sighing outstanding individuals that look and they act like runners. There are also standout yearlings from the first crops by Into Mischief and Notional. Kenny McPeak went to $105,000 to attain a colt by Into Mischief. Another Into Mischief went to pinhooker Debbie Easter at the Facey Tipton July sales for $125,000. A colt by Notional sold for $90,000 on a bid by EQB, Inc. out at Keeneland. And earlier this year, Norman Cassie paid $80,000 for another Notional youngster. Back to Tiz Wonderful, Horseman remembered that he was perhaps the most precocious son of the great Tiz now. He was undefeated at two, breaking his maiden at Saratoga by a jaw-dropping 12.5 lengths, then moving on to Churchill Downs to win two graded stakes, the Grade 3 Iroquois and the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club stakes. Tiz Wonderful, Into Mischief, Notional, Stan a Spendthrift Farm, inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ed Toffee. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, I want to talk about a good friend of mine here. That is Ron Wallace over at Equine Farm Management. And Ron, incidentally, is managing a Chanticleer farm. And they're having a dispersal out of Keeneland. And that's, of course, Prince Saul Ben Khalid. And in that consignment is this year's Alabama Stakes winner, Royal Delta. And she will go next either in the Beldame, or I hope she goes out here at Keeneland so we can see her in the Spinster Stakes. And what Rom does, and he's been doing it now since 1995, he has an organization or a business called Equine Farm Management, which helps farm owners enjoy their horse farms. And he's done a lot of work for some of the name farms around central Kentucky and elsewhere as far as that goes. Chanticleer Farm, of course, is down in Versailles. He's been the general manager there. He's going to handle that dispersal. One of my good friends who's standing right here, the farm that he has done some work for is Summer Wind Farm, Michael. And he did the layout, farm layout and development on that farm. So It's a
beautiful
place.
Farm.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
And Jane Line, it's a beautiful, beautiful farm. Ron did a great job. Ron's a great guy.
Yes,
he's also restoring a house down there, an old stone distillery.
Oh, is he? Man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one of my, there's a guy from Midway actually that's helping him with that, and it looks like it's going to be a great project. I really want to go down and see it.
Yeah. Well, he's done work all over, you know.
He's a great guy.
There's a lovely place out on the Paris-Lexington Road, you know, that he did out there, Hurricane Hill. Is that what the name of it is? Hurricane Hills Farm, yeah. And they got some horses at the training center. Well, anyway, what he can do, he can set up a farm for you, design it for you where it works very smooth. And if you want to see what he can do to your place, then he can probably improve it to help you where you can enjoy it more. And here's how you get in touch with him. It's equinefarmmanagement.com, and his phone number, and this is his cell number, 859-621-1655.
I'm heading down this highway, happy tears are in both eyes. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny side.
Now, what's Jackie and Doc talking about out there?
I don't know. They're behind the soundproof booth. I think they're talking about Temple Grandin. You know, Temple Grandin, who designs slaughterhouses.
Oh, yeah. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes.
Now, I did see that.
There's not only is there that movie, there's another movie. A friend of mine named Errol Morris, who actually won an Academy Award for a documentary when he made a movie called The Thin Blue Line. He's a great documentary filmmaker. he didn't win for The Thin Blue Line. He won it for his documentary on Robert McNamara that played down here at the Kentucky Theater. But anyway, he did a documentary on Temple Grandin that talked about her design of slaughterhouses. She was designing humane slaughterhouses for cows. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very interesting movie.
Yeah, well, she's autistic.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
She sees things in a certain way. And the documentary explains her designs and everything in a very interesting way, so it kind of makes a good double feature with the movie.
Yeah, she could build these intricate things that other people couldn't see how they would work.
Yes, and it was so clear to her.
It was clear to her, mm-hmm. And then she designed these stockyards where it was more, of course they're going to slaughter these cattle, but it was a more humane way sure. that they treated them.
Yeah, she yeah. designed that. It was a great idea.
Yeah.
And
they still use them. They use them.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And it took her a long time to convince people in the slaughterhouse business that these were, not only were they better for the animal, they were more effective in terms of
weight loss.
Injuries by both the cattle and the humans in the slaughterhouse under the old system.
Yeah.
So the less stress there was, the logical conclusion is the less stress that there is, there's less danger to both the animal and the human. So.
Yeah.
And it's a great movie.
I think we've got that. Oh, we loaned it to Doc. That's what it is.
That's what they're talking about.
Oh,
I think
okay.
they're like Siskel and Ebert out there. I think they're debating the merits of the movie.
I think he just gave her back the CD.
Gave her back the CD, and she got a book.
Oh, good.
Maybe she'll do a dramatic reading when you're through with the Phillies of 57.
I just got one more Philly, one more three-year-old Philly to talk about now.
I'm going to bring you an updated book. When it goes past, I see your book over there, it goes up to 1976. We got to get you one that's updated.
Oh, the new American Racing Manuals? I've seen, they discontinued them for a long time.
They did?
Oh, yeah. There's a big gap in there. They stopped back in the 90s, and they just stopped making them. They weren't making any money with them or anything, but they're putting them out now. I noticed the ads, they say if you buy one now, they give you last year's too. You get two.
Yeah, we get them every year because it's a great reference for us going, with our horses. It's a really quick reference, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
And now we got the Breeders' Cup coming up. I'm telling you, racing's getting exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Keeneland's coming up.
Keeneland's 75th anniversary. I got the new Keeneland license plate on my truck.
You did?
Yes.
I saw that today.
Mm-hmm.
On somebody else's, yeah.
I got it on my truck.
We said, hey, look at this, Keeneland license plate.
Yeah. 75 years.
Does it have numbers? This person had a name on theirs.
Well, I'm not that fancy. I just got a number.
Oh, okay. I wonder if you could get them with numbers.
Yeah, you can go to your local motor vehicle.
Broke.
I'll tell you something. Going to the motor vehicle department in Scott County is a pleasure. I mean, I used to have to do this in Boston. Honest to God, you had to set up. You brought Gone with the Wind because you'd have it read by the time they got through with you. I'm telling you. War and Peace, I read. Well, I was waiting for my license over there. It's unbelievable. But in Scott County, you just walk in and get it. And you say, well, which one do you want? And they have all the license plates there, and you can actually see them.
Oh, fun.
You just take whatever you want.
That's the same way.
Well, we'll have to get one for one of the trucks. We got one of the farm ones. I can't remember what
it is. Well, both of our trucks have farm on it.
Well, we get
and
one.
And then the car's got the, the one that's with the
Horse Council.
Yeah,
we have one for the Horse Council now and one for Keeneland.
Oh, okay.
We tried to do that with an old friend's license plate. We put a campaign together. We couldn't quite get enough people to sign up, but maybe we can try it again sometime.
Try it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll sign three or four times.
This was really cool. At the Secretariat Festival last week.
Record
crowd. It was great, by the way.
Yeah.
It was great. Everybody was there. Penny was there, and Lafitte Pinkai, and Pat Day, and Chris McCarron, and John Cougay, and Charlie Davis, his exercise rider, who... the next day came over to the farm to see Tinner's Way, which was really, really young. That whole event over there at the Secretariat Festival was fabulous. But one of the great things was one of the dealers over there had an antique dealer. I think the name is Artery, and it's in Paris.
Yes, mm-hmm. Artery.
Yeah. Very nice people running.
Yeah. Yes.
They had a lot of those bumper stickers that says, I like Kentucky bread.
Yeah.
And they had some. And I found some for one of our horses.
You did?
Did you really? Mm-hmm.
Easy Grades. I like Kentucky bred Easy Grades. So I bought
wonderful.
Those, and I bought some Johannesburg ones, and I bought a few others, Buddhas,
Good.
But I couldn't believe they had one for one of our horses. I like Kentucky bred Easy Grades, so I'm going to put that on our truck right next to my Keeneland license plate.
That's That's perfect.
Yeah.
I want a Keeneland license plate, daggone it. We can get it for one of the trucks. We got two farms.
Not until next year.
Oh.
I just bought them.
Maybe I'll just get a logo and slap it on the truck.
There you go.
There you go. That'd be cheaper.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Well, old as our trucks are, you know, that probably might keep the bumper from falling off.
One says Latonia.
Yeah, right.
That's good. Yeah, famous license plates of 57.
Right.
This will be good.
Kentucky Association.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got some stuff. We bought a collection. What was it? Partial purchase and partial donation of a collection that a guy had. And he has these signs that used to be up in a bookie joint in Lexington.
Really?
Of all the old tracks and what the conditions were. You know, Empire State, sloppy.
Jamaica.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jamaica.
That's fun.
Latonia.
Latonia.
Yeah.
I bet they got him out of the old Drake Hotel.
Yeah.
Probably
the old bookie joint up in Northern Kentucky was in Covington, a place called Ludlow. And it was either catty corner or the other corner from the police station, which we always thought was pretty clever. You walked through a saloon, went through a door in the back, and then they had all those chart things way up on the walls, and the guy would walk back and forth on a
catwalk.
Catwalk, yeah. And they'd write the stuff down. My father took me when I was a little girl. I was loved it.
Another great American institution bites the dust.
I know.
The biggest bookie in Lexington at that time, the biggest facility. Of course, Ed Curd had the he was the biggest bookie in town. I mean, he made the book for Las Vegas and everything on games and everything.
Wow.
And he had it down, you know where the State Theater is down next to the Kentucky? It was just on the other side of the State Theater. It was the Mayflower Bar. But that was Ed Curd's place. He owned a farm right out next to the Lexington Country Club, too. But the biggest bookie, and the one looked just like, almost like the one out of The Sting, was right up here on Short Street, just a half a block. If you're leaving Broadway and you're walking east and go about halfway up the block, it was the Drake Hotel. And, you go in the Drake and that's where that bookie was, back in the back. You know, great big one, you know.
Just an OTB.
Yeah, it was an
OTB. They were ahead of their time.
Yeah. OTB. Advanced deposit wagering account.
There was a big portrait. I mean, the portrait was, I don't know, it was about, I guess it was 7 to 8 feet tall and about 4 feet wide of my grandfather hanging in the wall there.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Why was that?
I don't know. I guess he was notorious. he was a Confederate veteran at Colonel Dick Reed, and he was used to lead all the parades around here on horseback, and he was, you know, well, one of those characters. You know, rode horse into the lobby of the Drake of the Phoenix Hotel. Up the courthouse steps, he did that all the time. He'd just ride right up those steps on his horse.
That's fabulous.
Out the back
tonight,
you didn't have to go down.
Saturday night, tonight, I'm going to be on my horse leading. I'm the Grand Marshal of the Festival of the Horse in Georgetown.
Are you riding tonight?
No, Diane and I are in a carriage.
Oh, I was going to say, I'd pay real money to see you ride.
I was going over with a BB gun.
Yeah, really. As long as that's all you bring, we'll be safe.
Smooching.
Hey, I got to catch up on these things. I'm way behind.
I'm going back to the farm, and I got to get ready for my parade. I'll have to take a nap.
Oh, yeah. What time is the parade?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Oh,
we'll be first out of the gate. And first to Galvin's or over to Rodney's afterwards for the beer.
There you go.
Go over to Old Friends Bar at Rodney's. What's it called?
Rodney's on Broadway.
Yeah.
All right, Ursel. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming
in, Michael.
We'll
see you next week.
All righty. Thank you. In stakes last weekend, the grade $250,000 gallant bloom handicap was won by Pomeroy's Pistol, a 3-0 filly by Pomeroy. Pomeroy stands at Vinery, New York. At the $250,000 Kent Stakes at Delaware was won by I'm Stepping It Up, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Congrats, the nation's number one ranked freshman sire in 2010. Congrats stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Vinery, New York, Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, Florida. World-class facilities equipped to handle your every need in the thoroughbred business. And that includes a very successful racing partnership program that is remarkable for its simplicity. We suggest that you contact Steve Castagnola, the director of bloodstock services at Vinery, to talk about the Vinery Racing Partnership Program. But any of the nice people at Vinery, John Gasper, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson, they'll be more than happy to talk to you and show you around the farm. Great facilities there. The number for Vinery Kentucky is 455-9388, and you can see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 97-23-47. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLHG AM Lexington.
Well, that didn't sound too good. Ted McLean's going to get me for that one. But those are really nice people at the Hopewell Company, and like I say, I've got all my insurance with them. Everything. Cars, house, farm, trailer, you name it, and we've got it insured with them. Liability insurance, and I've had a couple of accidents, not one for about 5-6 years now, but had an accident, and I just called Ted and said, Ted, take care of it for me. All right. That's the last I ever heard of it, you know.
That's what happened to me. That guy hit me.
You're a night up, Jack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What happened to you?
The little Toyota truck serviced. This is Choice. And I pulled out into New Circle Road, and I was going to turn left, and the lights were all red, and some guy waved me out, and I pulled out, and the guy behind him was in such a big, fat, hot hurry, he whipped around him and slammed right into me. So I just backed that car. I went right back in there, Toyota. I said, geez, you know. And we called him, and
That was the end of it. Never heard another thing, did we?
No, got it fixed, you know. Yeah,
they are, that's...
And that clown's, it's your fault. I said, you hit me, you moron.
That's the Clay Ward Agency down in, they've been, not the Clay Ward Agency, but the Hopewell Agency. Clay Ward, great people too, as far as that goes. Both of them down in Paris, but the Hopewell Agency with Ted McLean, give them a call down there. They're really, really nice people, and you'll be glad you did. Well, last Saturday at Delaware, Lulu Wong, a two-year-old filly with a badge of silver, won a maiden special by an eye-popping 10 1/4 lengths. Now, Lulu, bred by Brett Jones and sold for $100,000 at the OBS April sale, has served notice that she might be something special with a bullet half mile and 48 flat 6 days earlier. Lulu Wong is from the second crop by badge of silver, as is Doug's buddy, a colt that won 2 stakes in Canada and is undefeated in 3 starts so far. And El Romano stakes placed at Calder. Now, Badge of Silver is the sire in his first crop of King Kanji, winner of the Grade 3 Tropical Park Derby and placed in 3 other stakes, including the Grade 1 Bluegrass, the Hollandale down at Gulfstream, and last Saturday's $265,000 Kent Stakes at Delaware. He's also the sire of Silver Medallion, winner of the Grade 3 Camino Real Derby at Golden Gate and the Eddie Logan Stakes at Santa Anita of Sparkling Style, winner of the Alphabet Cases Stakes, that's at Hollywood Park, plus stakes placed Silver Leo, placed in the $161,000 display stakes at Woodbine. Badge of Silver, multiple graded stakes win of over $1 million by Silver Deputy, stands at Mr. and Mrs. Burrett and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right. We've got the gargles on from something happening up there. I don't...
That came across gargles too, huh?
Yeah, came across all gargles.
I'm not singing.
Right.
It'll have to do on its own.
Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Well, it just so happens that... All right. Jackie, you want to do some announcements? Or?
I'll do some announcements. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, got, she just had to answer the telephone. Once again, that thing out at Nick Ryan's is saloon for old friends is on Monday, October the 17th at 6 o'clock. And honoring Hall of Famers, Skipaway, Precisionist, and Noor. And all the proceeds from that going to old friends. And $50 a person, including barbecued ribs, pork, pulled pork, delicious size, and all the beer you can drink. Cash bar available for other drinks. Reservations, call 502-863-1775. Nick Ryan Saloon right up here on Jefferson Street. We're downtown doing the show today. All right, Jackie, you want to do that and take care of our favorite restaurant?
Okay, yes, our favorite restaurant would be the Tulip Bistro and Bar right here in Lexington. It's kind of a descendant of the Black Tulip, the wonderful Black Tulip that was in Midway for so long. Same great chef, Bill Vandenduul's son, Spencer. And he really can cook. I mean, some people try at it and some people can flat do it. And this stuff is so good. And it's over on Romney Road. It's so easy to get to. It's over on Romney, 355 Romney. You all know where that little area is. And Chevy Chase, people can walk to it.
Yeah, and all you horsemen are in, you know, in Kentucky now. You're coming in for Keeneland and everything like that. And a lot of you used to eat over in Midway at the Black Tulip. And I tell you what, you'll enjoy this place. It's very good, a nice atmosphere, and the food's delicious. So
it is wonderful, and especially if you like fish and oysters, and they serve oysters every which way that you can think of, and they have something they call three seafood starters. They have, it's just wonderful. They other have other stuff too, steak and duck and bouillabaisse and lamb and fillets and other kind of seafood and, of course, chicken. It's just really good. Let me give you their phone number.
Because yeah, and you better use it too because they
make reservations. Make reservations. It's 367-6687. Or online, thetulipbistroandbar.com. Now, Kathy Murphy, our good friend, wonderful fox hunter, wonderful girl, more fun. She is having her hunter pace on October 23rd. It gets the season going for fox hunting. Anyway, her hunter pace is at Kathy Murphy Stables. That's out in Hunt Country. I'm going to get her address. It's Sunday, October 23rd at noon. But you can go and just hang out and look a lot. You know, watch. It's just it's a lot of fun. So I'll get you more information on how to get there next week. Joyce Brinsfield is having her big show, the Bally High Classic, October 8th and 9th. Joyce is a wonderful riding instructor. She's a coach at Midway College again, teaching and coaching at Midway. And she has a really great riding facility down on in Woodford County off 33. Now, I'm going to tell you how to get there. You know, you get on the Bluegrass Parkway before you get to Versailles, and it sends you south. And the first exit is 33. If you go right, you go to town. You go left, you go down 33, and there's a fork in the road. And you take the left fork, and she's right down on the right. You can't miss it. So I might get more detailed instructions on that one, too. Bluegrass Farms Charities is going to have their big do Friday, October 7th at the Marriott Griffin Gate. It's called Racino Hard Boots and High Heels. And they are going to have gaming from 8 to 11. They're having specialty boutiques by Dillard's. They're having dinner and a live auction at 6:30. Raffles, Wild Duck Draw, sponsored by the NYRA. What is NYRA? I'm not sure. Anyway, it's a big time. LM Communication, the parent company of this radio station, is also a sponsor. So, if you're interested, give them a... Huh?
That'd be New York Racing Association.
Oh, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they're going to have a wild duck draw. I don't know who the wild duck is. Anyway, it is 219-0919 or Google Bluegrass Farm Charities.
Well, Eclipse Award winner Blame received a full book of quality mares in his first season at stud. Thank you, breeders. Winner of 7 stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, Grade 1 Stephen Foster and Grade 1 Whitney. Blame retired with earnings of $4,368,214. He's one of 4 champions by Arch, the side of Grade 1 stakes winners all around the world. Grade 1 stakes winners at Belmont, at Churchill, Del Mar, Oaklawn, Woodbine, Saratoga, at Royal Ascot, in Newmarket, and also in South Africa. Arch is an internationally successful sire. Blame recorded an astounding 9 consecutive 100-plus buyer speed figures, including a 111 in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he broke his maiden sprinting as a 2-year-old right out here at Keeneland. Blame's Dam, a stakes place daughter of Seeking the Gold, descends from the female family of which has given us literally dozens of superior runners, including the great sire Saddler's Wells and Nuria. Eclipse Award winner Blame and his internationally successful sire Arch stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornfarm.com. I want to say something real nice about my friends out at Sally Vance. You know, they, Jackie, Sally, they were the one of the original sponsors of this show.
And, way back in '55.
I know. And Nicole Pirat is the sole proprietor of that out there now. She comes from one of the nicest families around in area. Born and raised in Lexington. You knew her when she was with the Pony Club, didn't you?
Yeah, with her kids. When Nicole was in the Pony Club.
Yeah.
She's about Betsy's age, I guess. And
Bruce
Patsy, you know, was one of the Pony Club mothers. Yeah. And we did all the Pony Club fun stuff. They are nice people.
Yeah. Her dad is Bruce
Pirat. I can tell you about their first car date, too, but I won't.
Maybe you better not. Did they steam up the car a little bit, maybe?
I don't know. I just know where they went.
Anyway, Nicole's dad, of course, is Bruce. And Pirat owns Pirat's Appliance Land, which was founded by Nicole's grandfather, and her great grandfather was one of my dad's best friends, and certainly one of my best friends. He was HB. Everybody called him Pappy, and what a wonderful man!
Right? Yeah, we have some of the best pictures.
I've got all kinds
of
pictures Pappy of
Pappy in wind pictures everywhere.
Yeah, he was a great guy. A lot of fun to be around.
Yeah,
and it's a wonderful family, and what a wonderful organization that. The things they do, they haul these horses around here, these old retired horses for old friends, and don't charge anything. And you know, that's contributing to the
everything. And I'm going to tell you, they are the United States Equestrian Federation's official horse transporter. And
well, I want
a
you
good
to,
choice.
They do a whole lot for the horse industry, and if you need to haul a horse.
And listen, if you've got to go to a sale, they do special group things to the sales. They're loading them up for timonium and that kind of stuff. So,
all right, that's our good friends out of Sally Van Service. And let's see, Scat Daddy is the sire of 19 winners and 3 graded stakes winners in his first crop to race this year. Last Saturday in Newmarket, Daddy Longlegs, a 2-year-old colt by Scat Daddy, won the Group 2 Judmont Royal Stakes by 3.5 lengths. Daddy Longlegs, bred for Woodford Thoroughbreds and sold at the Fagey Tipton July sales for $100,000, races for Michael Tabor, Derek Smith, and Susan Magnier, and is trained by Aidan O'Brien. That's good company. He is being considered for either the Breeders' Cup or for the remaining Group 1 races in Europe. Now, Scat Daddy is also the sire finale, winner September 17th of the Grade 3 Summer Stakes at Woodbine, and also the Continental Mile Stakes at Monmouth Park. He's a sire of undefeated Sherrod Property, winner September 10th of the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Futurity. Now, Daddy knows best. Grade is set place to finale in the Grade 3 Summer Stakes. Force de la Nature, placed in the Grade 3 Schuylerville Stakes at Saratoga, and Mystic Mama, placed in the Junior Champion Stakes at Monmouth Park. Boy, they're running. And it's interesting to note that all 3 of Scat Daddy's first crop graded stakes winners have won stakes at a mile. Scat Daddy, the nation's number one ranked freshman sire, the nation's number one ranked sire on the juvenile sire list, stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
That was funny. That was.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening over there.
Hey, that might be a new twist on bluegrass. You never know. It might catch and take off. We may have a new genre of music.
I wish it would take off. Go ahead, Jackie.
That was pretty crazy stuff. I think that I kind of enjoyed that, and you all cut it off. Oh, well, it's better than some of that rap. Come on, give me a break. The Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, are sponsoring a pedigree and confirmation clinic Monday, October 10th, Tuesday, October the 11th in Lexington. They will discuss inbreeding, line breeding, outcrossing, nicking, and more. Confirmation topics include identifying common conformational traits and live evaluations. There are horses there, and I'll talk about that. So, and it includes two farm tours. So, to register, you can go www.toba.org, or you can give them a call locally. That's 859, of course, 276-2291. They do really do a good job. They have great people that speak at these things. It's quite a thing. Also, my friend Peggy Manus, who has her wonderful photography shop. You know, I never mentioned Jim does beautiful framing. That's a framing shop at the same time. He does the most gorgeous stuff, and he gets his hands on wood and framing materials that are not like you see every day stuff. This is really very unique. And I've never seen some of the frames he has. So you might want to get online. It's Manus, M-A-N-E-S-S, photography.com, or give her a call, 846-9343.
Well, First Crop Yearlings by First Defense sold for $165,000 and $110,000 at the recent Keeneland sales. Yearlings by Mizzen Mass sold for $145,000, $135,000, $90,000. First Defense's stud fee, $7,500 in 2011. Mizzen Mast fee, $12,500. We expect big things from the First Crop by First Defense next year because First Defense has a big-time pedigree, a pedigree loaded with grade one winners and successful sires. And First Defense had big-time speed, grade one speed, sprinted 7 furlongs in 44-3, 108-2, and 121-2 to win the grade one four-goal at Saratoga. In 120-4 at Belmont Park, in 122-1 at Churchill Downs, ran 6 furlongs in 9-2 to take the grade 3 Jiper Stakes. He is by top sire Unbridled Song, and First Defense is out of the grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slough, to the outstanding sires Empire Maker and Chester House. Mizzen Mass, a grade 1 winner himself, is a proven sire of grade 1 winners, and he's the son of the leading sire Cozine. First Defense and Ms. Mass stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. And see the website at judmont.com. Now, I want to say something about my good friend Tom Biederman. Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneer.
He's got another place for sale on the other end of our road.
Oh, has he? On Clay Kaiser?
Up toward Peacock.
Up toward Peacock.
Yeah, it's a real pretty place. And they're closing in on us.
Ah.
They're surrounding us.
Well, that's fine.
So if he can sell them with us in mind, he's one heck of a salesman.
Well, he is one heck of a salesman.
Yes, he is.
Not only that, well, I guess one of the reasons is, of course, he knows what the hell he's doing. You know, he's been in the horse business and everything all his life and real estate business and everything, and he's somebody you can trust, and people like him. So, you know, he'd be a good guy to list your property with just for those good reasons. And as Jackie says, he's got some great property for sale and got some great people working for him.
Oh, yeah. He's got some. There's a place out behind Keeneland that's a good Lord. How's that for neighbors?
Yeah, pretty good.
That's really good. 3160 Paris Pike, 37.4 acres. It's gorgeous. The residence is out of this world. It's stunning. There's that. And 3615 Pisgah. Oh, the one on Paris Pike is next to the training center. And that's
Greg Fox.
Greg Fox's place. Fox, yeah. Brand new house, all the amenities, et cetera, et cetera.
Spotless.
Spotless. And when they put in trees, they put them in on the avenue leading up to it.
Yeah.
And you just don't get any better than that. And the nice part about that is if you want to train horses out of that stunning barn they've got back there, they put in a special pathway down to the across the road in the training center with a special button. You push it, and it stops traffic. You can get right on the training center and mm-hmm. train. It's perfect.
Yeah, it's also a tenant house on there, too, that's very, very nice.
Yeah, so.
Great place.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's 37.4 acres. Okay. Show place, as they say.
Tom's number is 277-2030, I do believe. Did I remember that right?
Yeah.
You can't. That's an easy number.
And BiedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com.
All right. Now we're going to talk about another good friend of ours, Jim Fitzgerald, who owns Knott Griffin Farm over on 460, and he owns Harper's Island Farm on 27?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Cynthiana Road.
Nice thing about that is two farms. Of course, the original farm he's had since 1994, but the Harper's Island he's developed just the last couple of years.
Yeah, done a beautiful job.
One of them is on one side of us, and the other's on the other side,
uh-huh.
and he gets that big mower here and drives by and turns in, mows our little place.
Oh, thank the Lord.
That's the kind of neighbor he is. He's a great guy. Is somebody that if you're in the horse business and you're not doing very well, if you're thinking about getting into the horse business, you ought to sit down and talk to Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm in Paris. And it's a great farm. Boarding, sales prep, sales, public or private, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, you name it, he can do it. Got quality help. He's never done anything in his life but fool with horses. Came up under Dr. Michael Osborne and John Williams over at Spencerville and Lee Eaton. So he learned from the best. So he can give you some good, sound, common sense advice. And here's his number in Paris at Knott Griffin Farm, 987-8032. And it's KnockGriffin Farm.com.
You don't have bumper music. You want me to
kick
a little? No, still stinks. Stinks.
Somebody's gargling that horn.
That's not Bucky Sowley.
Yeah. All righty.
You going to do some history?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think so.
What have I got left to do here?
Well,
I'm
there.
Missing one commercial here. And here it is. Okay, we got time. I got time to do something?
Yes,
Well, they're running the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Today, you know, it's not the oldest stakes in the world. It just
certainly is one of the big, biggie deal-y ones.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking the other day, you know how you get to daydreaming, out on a tractor, something like that, you know, and you're bored to tears. And
chain heroin, that's my fave.
Yeah, you love to spread that poo, don't you?
You can go fast. Just fly.
Yeah, you can fly when you chain heroin.
Don't have to look.
Of all the races, I was thinking of the five races I would like to win. First, of course, is the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
Then the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yes.
And then the two other Triple
Crowns. The Million.
Well, that's the Classic. No, I'm not going to fly to Dubai.
No, I don't mean that one. Chicago.
I would want to win either the Preakness, the Belmont, or the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Of course, first would be the Derby.
Yeah, of course. Everybody's dream.
Well, getting back to the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
Yes.
It was first run in 1919, and as a matter of fact, the first two runnings weren't the best in the world. The first one was a walkover, and the second one was a virtual walkover. Purchase won the first one. How could he get beat? He was the only starter.
That's the kind of race I've been looking for my whole life.
That's what we needed to win. Purchase was by Ormondy, out of the great mare, Cherryola. And Walter Vosburgh described him as exquisitely beautiful, and that he had the best qualities of his illustrious ancestors. He had the size of Melbourne, the power of Stockwell, the beauty of Orlando, the speed of Ormondy and St. Simon, and the courage of Lexington. So he was kind of hung up on him, wasn't he?
Kind of. Yeah.
He liked the
one
second.
One man band.
He liked the second winner, too.
Yeah.
That was Man of War.
Oh.
And that was.
Well, you and he.
Yeah, that was a virtual. Me and a whole lot of people. That was a virtual walkover. And Vosburgh described him as having the size and power of a sprinter with the conformation of a stayer. And when he retired, you know, he wrote in the Racing in America, Volume 1. And when he retired, he wrote this little verse about Man of War. And it goes thusly, weave for the mighty chestnut a tributary crown of autumn flowers, the brightest then when autumn leaves are brown. Hang up his bridle on the wall, his saddle on the tree, till time shall bring some racing king worthy to wear as he. Isn't that good?
That's excellent.
Are you over reading?
I am not.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not.
I'm okay.
Listening with bated breath the on every golden syllable.
The 1992 winner of the Jockey Club Gold Cup was Mad Hatter. He was a foal in 1916, so he was 6 years old when he shared the same kind of a pedigree and the same breeder as Man of War. He was by Fair Play out of a Roxanne mare, and he was bred by August Belmont. And he won it twice. He won it as a five-year-old and as a six-year-old. So it was in 21 and 22 that he won it. And he would have been a much better racehorse, except he had a bad temperament. But he was a great stayer. The Jockey Club Gold Cup, when he won, it was 2 miles. And he was a heck of a sprinter. At age 7, he picked up 128 pounds and won the Toboggan at 6 furlongs. And he also won the Suburban at age 8, so he was around for quite a while. He was purchased for stud duties by Mr. H.P. Whitney, who owned the property where the Thoroughbred Training Center is now built. And I guess he went stud barn over there in barn, what is now barn 28, although that barn, the original stud barn, burned down in 1939, and they built it back up, I think, just copied it, you know, but I bet that's where he went to stud.
Yeah.
He sired one runner that was good, a horse named The Nut. And
I've had a couple of those. I didn't know the name was taken.
Yeah, right. Well, The Nut won the Realization and the Latonia Championship, but like his sire, he was well named. But
I never thought of that for a.
Mad Hatter ended up
funny.
With the U.S. government in the remount. Now, I'm not sure where he went. A lot of them went to Michigan, a lot of them went west. I know Omaha went to Nebraska, of course. That's where he's buried out there at Axe Harbin. The 1926 winner was Crusader, who was from the first crop by Man of War. And, no, he was from the second crop. Well, yeah, he was from the second crop by Man of War. I'll get it straight in a minute. You know, man, he was out of Star Ferry by Star Shoot and was bred by Samuel D. Riddle, of course, who owned Man of War. He didn't breed him. And Mr. Riddle had kept Man of War as virtually a private stallion for himself, and Walter Jeffords was married to Mr. Riddle's niece, and rarely was there an outside mare allowed to be bred to him, and he never covered more than 25 mares in any year. But in 1925, with 25 foals of racing age and 12 of them 2-year-olds, he climbed to number 4 on the sire list. And by 1926, he ranked number 1. And according to historian John Hervey, never before had so young a stallion with such a small number of offspring made such a showing. Crusader was, a lot of people thought he was Man of War's best son, although most think War Admiral was. But when he went to stud, he had but limited opportunities because he went to stud for Mr. Riddle and stood in the shadow of his sire. War Admiral entered stud near the end of Man of War's career and did much better than Crusader. The 2 mile Jockey Club Gold Cup is still 2 mile. He ran the last quarter of that 2 mile race in 23-1 and one going away. Yeah, there have been some great winners of that race down through the years. Whoops, I better take a break here. I'll mention some of those just as soon as I get back, taking to my good friends over at Shadwell Farm, where Albertus Maximus is going to stud. Now, Albertus Maximus sprinted a mile 1:33.2 to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. He won the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Handicap, mile and an eighth on the dirt. He won the Windy Sands Handicap, going a mile out of Del Mar. He won at Santa Anita and at Hollywood Park. He placed in the Grade 1 Goodwood and the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, and also in the Grade 3 Affirmed Handicap. He earned $1,328,230. He is one of two millionaires. I got my tang tangled here. He's one of two millionaires, sired by Albert the Great, a brilliant stakes winner of over $3 million himself. And his dam, a daughter of 49er, won nearly $100,000 and is out of Race the Wild Wind, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $458,000. Now, Race the Wild Wind is also the dam of King Charlemagne, a Group 1 stakes winner in France and a Group stakes winner in England and in Ireland, and of a Group stakes winner and Group 1 place, Amesh Shahir. And she is the grand dam of Here Comes Ben, who won the Grade 1 Forgo Stakes sprinting at 7 furlongs at Saratoga. Albertus Maximus is a superior Grade 1 stakes winner from a top-class family. And here's the good news. He's going to stand his first season at stud, free to approve mares next year, and there's a $5,000 bonus to the breeder of his first stakes winner. Contact stallion manager Kent Barnes at Shadwell Farm and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Bristet.com.
All right, we're going to have to blow that off. That was one of my friends from out of Brisnet. In fact, there was Les Enstone on there. And Brisnet, of course, has been furnishing me with information for this show and my previous show that I did for 50 years. And it's a great organization. And the number over there is, can I remember that? 223-4444. And they've got all kinds of betting things that you can triple crown betting and wagering and so forth over there. And call them up over there. Go to their website and look it over.
Yeah, Brisnet.com.
Yeah, Brisnet.com. And the great people, incidentally.
Well, the product's so good. You click on results, you get results. You click on charts, you get charts. You know, and then as you open things up, you can do research, pedigree research, and racing research, and breeding and research. I mean, it's the research place.
Yep. All right, that's my good friends over at Brist. Now, Bellamy Rose, 2011 sales yearlings have sold for an average of $97,833, and it's easy to understand why. First of all, Bellamy Rhodes sires grand individuals. Secondly, he's siring runners, and horsemen are well aware of that fact. First foals raced at 2 last year, and they came out running. He is the sire of 6 first crop stakes winners, and 3 of the 6 have won graded stakes. Toby's Corner picked up a check for $600,000 by winning the Grade 1 Wood Memorial. He also won the Whirlaway Stakes at Aqueduct and ran placed in the Grade 3 Gotham this year. Victoria's Wildcat has won the Grade 3 Eight Bell Stakes at Churchill and placed in Belmont's Sometime Thing Stakes. Position Limit has won the Grade 3 Adirondack at Saratoga. Bellamy Star won the Extra Heat Stakes at Belmont and was second in the Grade 2 Lake George at Saratoga. Embellished has won 4 stakes in Canada. And Bellamy Road won the Indiana Futurity and is placed in 2 more stakes. In his second crop, 2 year-olds this year, Bellamy Road is the sire of George's Angel, winner of the Grade 3 Skylaville at Saratoga. That's a lot of run. Bellamy Road won graded stakes at 2 and won Grade 1 stakes at 3. He stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. We're not even going to try some. Russ is shaking his head over there. Well, I don't know what Russ did that over there. Let's see, the 1928 winner of the Jockey Club Gold Cup was Ray Count. That was one of the top crops, incidentally. And, of course, he sired Count Fleet. And He beat Chance Shot and Display in the Jockey Club Gold Cup in 1928. In 1930 was Gallant Fox, a Triple Crown winner. 20 grand won it in 1931 as a three-year-old. That was the year he also won the Belmont and the Kentucky Derby. Ran second to Mate in the Preakness Stakes. And let's see, 1933, 1934 was Dark Secret. War Admiral won the Jockey Club Gold Cup in 1938. Market Wise in 41, as a three-year-old, beat Whirlaway, who was also three that year. And, of course, Whirlaway was the Triple Crown winner. He went to stud over at Calumet Farm. They ended up in France, incidentally. 1942, Whirlaway won as a four-year-old, beating the three-year-old Al Sab. Now, Al Sab was by Good Goods and was foaled out of what is now Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. That's where he was foaled. Al Sab went to stud over on, what is now? Thinking the name of that damn road. Todd's Road. On Todd's Road. Where the farm was located, right where Todd's Road joins the bypass, right across from the Dodge dealer over there, and that's where he was went to stud. He people didn't like his pedigree, and he didn't get much opportunity, but he did sire some stakes winners, and he was bred named after his owner Al Sabbath, which is where the name came from. Al Sab, yeah, and I tell you who else lived right there. Was the late Alan Brewer. Alan was killed way back in the 60s in a plane crash. They were flying up to see the Washington, D.C. International in a small plane and went down. Alan was, of course, an artist. And that studio of his was wild. You'd go in there, you could hardly move in that damn thing. I mean, it was big. I mean, it was a big studio. He had stuff stacked up on shelves and shelves in the middle of the floor. Shells, you know, I mean, it was, you know, you had to holler at, where in the hell are you, Alan? You know, but he was a fun guy, had a big family. I think he had seven kids. And I went in there one time, and this had to be in 1959 because he was doing a painting of Tommy Lee. In fact, he was doing three paintings of Tommy Lee, and he had them lined up, boom, 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 one, two, three. And he was painting on one, go to the next one, paint a little bit, go to the next one, paint. but he was something else. Yeah, that's so much for Al Sab. I got one more spot to do and take care of my good friends out at Spendthrift Farm. You know, I went in there to Spendthrift about 2 weeks ago, and they gave me a hat that said Patio Prado on it because I went in wearing a Coolmore hat. And they were, I think your mic's off, Jackie, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Anyway, I went in there. They gave me hell about it, you know, and gave me a Patio Prado hat. So I went in for something earlier this week, and I was wearing my Patio Prado hat. I made sure I had it on. And Ned Toffee, who's the manager of that place over there, there's some great guys over there. They're funny as they can be. Ned says, I bet you've got a hat for every advertiser stacked up on your dashboard, and you wear them.
Where am I?
I said, yeah, well. Well, first crop yearlings, but 'tis wonderful, were extremely well received at the Keeneland sales. Six were sold for $100,000 or more, two for $150,000, two for $140,000, one for $130,000, and one for $100,000. 12 others sold for more than $50,000, including three that brought $85,000 each, and another for $75,000. So that's 18 first crop yearlings by 'Tis Wonderful to sell for $50,000 each. So he's signing outstanding individuals that they look and act like runners. There were also some standout yearlings in the sale from the first crops by Inner Mischief and Nostrum. Kenny McPeak went to $105,000 to obtain a coat by Into Mischief, and another Inner Mischief went to Pinhooker Debbie Easter earlier this year at Phase Tipped in July for $125,000. A coat by Notional brought $90,000 on a bid for EQB Inc. agent. And earlier, Norman Cassie paid $80,000 for another Notional youngster. Now back to 'Tis Wonderful. Horseman remembered that he was perhaps the most precocious son of the great Tisnow, undefeated at two, broke his maiden at Saratoga by 12.5 lengths, went over to Churchill Downs and won two graded stakes back-to-back, the Grade 3 Iroquois and the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club stakes. She is wonderful, into mischief, and notional. They stand as Spencer, if Army Inquiries, to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, John Fell, Ned Toffee. See the website at SpencerFarm.com. All righty. Got about 5 minutes here.
Won't be any happy trails.
No happy trails tonight, today. Well, shoot, what am I going to do about it? I said I was going to do something on Gallant Bob.
Please.
And, hell, if I can find it, I'll do it. It's in the debris here somewhere. The debris. well, I'm not sure I can find it, Jackie. Nah. Wait a minute. Nope. Can't find it. I've hidden it somewhere. I've tucked it away. And, well, there's evening time. I was going to do something on evening time, too. Let me move this paperclip. Maybe I can find a doggone thing. Because I remembered Gallant Bob. Here it is.
Holy
You can sit down now, dear. I don't have it a couple of minutes. Well, this won't take long. But I wanted to mention it because I remember the horse real well. He's a foal in 1972. He's a gilding. He was by Gallant Romeo out of mare by New Policy. Jack Holman bred him. He was bred Kentucky bred, and R.P. Horton owned him, and Floyd Toll trained the horse. He was a champion sprinter in 1975 when he was a three-year-old. That year, he started 18 times and won 14 races with 1 second and 2/3. So he was off out of the money just once. His only start, that was the only time he ran out of the money was his only start around two turns, and that was up at Delaware in what it was, the Rosemont Stakes. And every start came in stakes. Every one of those 14 starts was in a stakes race. He won stakes at Keystone, Garden State, Aqueduct, Monmouth, Bowie, Arlington Park, Delaware, and all of them sprints. He went on to race through age 7 and won stakes at Keeneland. As an older horse. He won the Phoenix out there. Also won the Pomona and the Sword Dancer up in New York. Never won beyond 7 furlongs. And he raced till age 7. And he made one start over the jumps as a 7-year-old, by the way. And he fell, so then he didn't try that again. But never ran for claiming tag. I hope he got a good home when he was through. Ran 77 times with 23 wins. 11 seconds and 8/3, and earned just short of $500,000. And Gallant Romeo, who was his sire, was a foal of 61. He had won the Vosburgh and the Olympia Handicap and the Royal Palm, won the Warren Wright Handicap. And he sired 42 stakes winners. He was a very good stud horse. Sired Elocutionist, who won the Preakness and the Arkansas Derby and won third in the Kentucky Derby. That was Bull Forbes Derby. They both sold in the same sale, incidentally, out at Fasig Tipton. Their first sale was 10 sales out on the old Frankfurt Pike where Bonnie Bray's farm used to be. And they sold the Triple Crown winners that year because Bull Forbes won the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont Stakes and Elocutionist the Preakness. He also sired My Juliet, who was a brilliant mare. She won 24 races, the Vosburghs, beaten Colts, the Vagrancy, won the Black Eyed Susan, won a bunch of stakes. Nicosia, the Hollywood Oaks winner, was also by Gallant Romeo. And he was broodmare sire of a top filly named Stella Madrid, who won the Acorn and the Frisette and the Spinaway Stakes. Well, we're running out of time.
Oh, listen. Next week we're on from 8 to 10 live here at the Training Center. So tune in. And, of course, on WLXG.com. You can click on it and get it on there, or
hey, that sounds good, Rusty.
Rusty.
Oh, a new computer?
Anyway, you can...
That Rusty, he's handy.
What do you call it when it's podcast all over the world or whatever? WLXG.com, and the people in China are just going to have to get up 2 hours earlier to listen next week. Also, the show will be up on UrsulaEllis.com.
Sooner or later. All right.
Sooner or later.
Talk to you next week, and thanks for listening.